Let's turn to the book of Revelation, and we're up to chapter 16. And notice in chapter 8, you have the blowing of the seven trumpets of God's wrath. And that's in chapter 8, verse 6 to chapter 11, verse 19. And the blowing of the trumpets of God's wrath that will be poured out upon the earth. And then in chapter 12 and chapter 13, there's an interruption in the progress to look at Israel and the empires that have persecuted Israel and the last eighth empire that will try to destroy Israel under the beast and the Antichrist. That's in chapter 12, Israel 13, the beast empire. And then notice in chapter 14, we have the preparation for the pouring out of the seven bowls of God's final wrath. And we looked at that in chapter 14. Chapter 14, you begin to move forward again with the time sequence. And you see the Lamb appearing on Mount Zion with 144,000 on earth. He's now on earth. This is at the end of the 70 weeks. You see the three angels make their announcements, chapter 14, verse 6 and following. And then you see a background of two harvests. One has to do with the rapture. The other has to do with the harvest of the Battle of Armageddon that's going to come. We're going to study that. And then in chapter 15, which we looked at last week, we go to heaven and you prepare for the pouring out of the wrath of God on earth by looking at a scene in heaven. And remember, you see the temple of God and the Ark of the Covenant up there in heaven in chapter 15, preparing for the pouring out of the seven bowls of judgment on earth. And today we're going to look at the actual pouring out now of the judgment of the bowls on earth. But I wonder, does anybody know about the time that this has taken place, these seven bowls are going to be poured out on earth? From what time to what time will it be that these bowls are poured out on earth? These judgments are the final wrath of God. By the way, this will finish the wrath of God. It will be, as far as the wrath of God poured out on this earth, it will be done. The wrath of God includes the trumpet judgments and the bowl judgments, seven trumpet judgments, seven bowl judgments. It is not the seals. They are preparations for the wrath of God, and they must be opened up before the wrath of God can be revealed. So how long, though, are these final bowl judgments about? How many years or weeks or days or months? What are we looking at? Denny?
We're looking at the 30 days after.
Yeah. We're looking at just a very short time, from about day 6 to day 30 of the 30 days that follow the 7 years. By the way, the Jewish calendar is 30 days in it. We have 30, 31. Sometimes you have a leap year in February, 28 days. Not the Jewish calendar. It's 30, 30, 30. It's even. And so this is the Jewish calendar, the last 30 days after the 7 years. And that's how long it's going to take between about day 6 and day 30 for all of this, all that we're going to study in chapter 16 is going to happen within about a 3-week period of time. Very quickly and universal all over the world. Very devastating. Very devastating. Let me just ask you a question. Are we going to be here for that if we're saved people right now? No, we're not going to be here. We're not going to be here. Are we going to be here? Those are the bowl judgments. Are we going to be here for the trumpet judgments? How many say we're going to be here for the trumpet judgments? Raise your hand. Okay. The answer is, I see some of you just kind of going, oh, I got a headache. He's asking me too many hard questions this morning. That's why you came to class. The answer is no, because all of the trumpet judgments are also the wrath of God. Are we going to be here for the opening of the seals, or most of the seals? Yeah. We're going to be here for opening of the first 6 seals, certainly. The 7th seal is the revelation of the 7 trumpets. So between the 6th seal and the 7th seal is when the rapture takes place. And it fits. If you read Revelation 7, you see this great company of people taken up. They're in heaven now. So let's remember our facts and remember, you won't be here for the trumpets, you won't be here for the bowls of the wrath of God. But this is the final part of the wrath of God. And where are we when this is all taking place, the trumpets and the bowls? Where are we at that time, Miss Marion? We're up in heaven. And what's taking place in heaven? Well, one thing that's taking place, a big reunion with all the loved ones that are saved with Jesus. Big reunion, big family reunion. Then after that, what comes after the reunion? Right after the reunion in heaven. It's kind of a sober time. Nancy Hebert?
Where you open your book and read all your bad and good.
Well, that it's not so much he opens the book and reads your bad things. You're thinking of the white throne judgment, which is for the unsaved. And if you're unsaved, unfortunately, that's your judgment, that all of your books are, all of your works are read off, all of your sins are read off. Can you imagine that? Every sin you've ever done, said, or thought, have to have that read off. But that's a later judgment. That's for the unsaved if you're not saved. But it is a judgment in heaven. But what is it called? The judgment seat of Christ. And that's for believers. And all of your sins are not read off, by the way, at that judgment. Because they're paid for. They're under the blood. But what is revealed is, since you got saved, why did you do what you do? And what did you do for the Lord? And it will be the rewards that you'll get for the works that you've done since you've been saved. And those rewards will be having to do with the place that you will have when we come back with the Lord and reign over the world. There'll be jobs for us to do based on how we did after we were saved in serving Him. And so that's what's going to be taking place in heaven after the rapture and after the reunion. Then that comes. Then there's one more thing that's going to happen in heaven, and we'll talk about that later. But now we're going to what's happening on earth while we're in heaven in those last part of that 30 days. And let's look at verse 1 in chapter 16. It says, "And I heard a voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of wrath upon the earth." Now, we're reminded here that whether it's the trumpet judgments or whether it's the bowl judgments, however it is of the wrath of God, God employs angels. By the way, when it says God comes back with His saints at the Battle of Armageddon, I don't believe those saints are us. Some people believe they're Christians and that we're going to fight with the Lord. I don't believe that's what the bride does. Can you imagine a bride on a honeymoon, the bridegroom saying, "Come on, honey, we're going to fight a war now." No, I don't believe that's going to be our role, that we're going to be left in the New Jerusalem and the Lord is going to take angels and come and fight the Battle of Armageddon. That's what I believe. I believe the holy ones are angels there. Now, some people believe it's saints, but I believe they're angels. And we'll talk about that later. But he talks about the wrath of God. He uses these seven angels that will pour out these bowls upon the earth. Now, they're called vials. A vial is a bowl. Why is it a bowl? What is the significance of a bowl? You know, I can understand a blowing a trumpet that's like announced, you're going to get it. Boop! And then you get it. What's the bowl? Denny? It's like a bowl. Yeah. And what does that come from? Does anybody know in history and biblical, you know, figurative language, what that comes from, what that bowl is? Denny?
When they used to dump bowls, it used to be full of oil. They used to go after the captives and stuff. They would dump.
Oh, okay, like dump the hot water down, or the hot oil on you when you go over the wall. Yeah, that'd be like, that'd be bad. All right. But something else I'm thinking of. Anybody? Eric?
They were supposed to, if you wash your hands and everything, you have just pour it over there.
Exactly. It's all that, you know how your hands get all greasy, you're eating fried chicken or something like that, and you wash them in there, and that's what they didn't have sinks like we do and faucets, so they wash their hands and get all that grease in there and get, you know, clean them off after they eat, and everybody did it with their bowl, and it's a shallow bowl, and then whoever, you know, did the dishes, they just take the bowl and go, shoo, and throw that dirty, greasy water out. And that's like these bowl judgments that are going on there. And so it says in verse 2, "And the first angel went and poured out his vial, his bowl, upon the earth, and there fell a noisome, grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image." Now, remember, the tribulation starts in the middle of the 7 years. And everybody that has the mark of the beast is going to be able to get free food. Not free food, but you will have money in your bank account. No doubt the government will back it, and you'll be able to buy food, you'll be able to buy medical supplies, whatever you need. How long is that going to last before the Lord is going to darken the sky and stop that tribulation? Eric?
Less than 3.5 years.
Yeah, less than 3.5 years. It's going to be a wonderful time for the world. They're going to say, "Oh man, heaven is on earth. We have a utopia. We have a socialist government, a socialist utopia, just like we always wanted. And those stupid people that said we couldn't have it. It's so wonderful." It's not going to last. And those that don't take the mark, it's going to be really hard. It's going to be tribulation. It's not going to be easy. The greatest tribulation of all. And the Bible says that we who are believers are not going to miss that. If we're alive, then we'll be here for that. And some people will give their life. Some people God will protect. But what the Bible is saying here is those people that thought, "Oh man, we took the mark, it's great, life is good," they're going to find out that now they're going to suffer God's tribulation on them. And God's tribulation on them is going to be much worse than the tribulation of the beast upon us. I mean, God's tribulation on them is going to be poured out with the trumpet judgments for part of that 3.5 years, for the rest of it. And then for the bowl judgments, and God's judgments are much more powerful. I'd rather fight the devil than God, I'll tell you that. God's more powerful than the devil. And so what they're going to get, they got this mark now, and what they're going to get, they've got free food, free medical, everything is great, and now they're going to get these sores. You know what these sores are? It looks like cancer. Cancerous sores on their body. In their mouth and in their face and on their body, just these big cancers, malignant sores. And they're just going to pop up and they're just going to appear. And the pain is going to be terrible. And then it says in verse 3, look at that, "And the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea." Basically, what this is saying is that, you know, in the second trumpet judgment, 1/3 of the sea became dead. Now God's saying, okay, now everything else in the sea is going to die. What is that talking about? You're not going to have any fish. You're not going to have any tuna fish. You're not going to have any animals at all in the sea. They're all going to die. Everything that's in the sea is going to die. And no more seafood. No more seafood restaurants. Well, everything is going to be gone. All the things that man takes pleasure in, it's going to be gone. And look at verse 4. It says, "The third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of water, and they became blood." So this is, now we saw the salt water. This is all the fresh water. And it says, all the fresh water. "And I heard the angel of the waters say, Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shall be, because Thou hast judged thus. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and Thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy." So the water turns to blood, and why does God do that, according to this scripture? Why does God pour that judgment out? Miriam?
Because of the martyrs, people that they've killed.
They've killed so many people that believe in the Lord. The blood flowed so freely. God said, "You want blood? I'll give you blood. I'll turn your water to blood. Think about what you've done." And they turn the tap on, and blood's going to come out. Somebody's got a spring. They say, "That's all right. I don't have city water. I got a spring. Like I got a well on my property. I got a well." They're going to turn whoever took over my house when I'm up there in heaven, who's ever sitting in my house drinking my water, they're going to turn up and it's going to turn blood. Who's ever in your house is going to turn blood. Or if you're still around, you'll be drinking blood. I hope that you're not around. Because if you're not around, it means you're not saved. but it's not going to be a picnic. This could happen in our lifetime. This could happen to your friends, your family members. If they're not saved, they'll go through this. You say, I'm worried about going through the tribulation. You better worry about them going through the wrath of God. It's a lot worse than any tribulation ever thought about being. And so then we come to the fourth one, and look what it says in verse 7. I heard another out of the altar say, even so, Lord Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. In other words, Lord, what you're doing is good here. It's right. It's fair. And number fourth one, and the fourth angel, verse 8, poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. I was talking to Joe this morning. Joe Gorilla back here, and he's telling me he's working outside this week and how cold it was with that wind blowing. Anybody else work outside? Man, mercy, it's cold this week. And that wind blowing, and we were talking about global warming, how Al Gore says there's all this global warming. He says, let him work outside in this weather and tell you about global warming. I just got a letter in the mail. He said there's been no global warming at all since 1990-some. It's been cooling now. But at this point in time, there's going to be a scorching of the sun upon people. And God is going to make the sun literally be so great, it's going to burn them. Now, how is he going to do it? I don't know. You could have an explosion like a solar storm on the sun that could be bringing that heat onto the world. But I know this, it is going to literally scorch parts. You hear these forest fires they have in California from the Santa Ana winds and stuff like that? It'll make it look like a Sunday school picnic. And it's going to scorch people. So literally their bodies are going to be burned by the heat of the sun. And it says, here's what it says that happened. It says, they repented not to give him the glory. Those people, they blasphemed the name of God. They cursed God. And they know that the plagues are from God. And they're shaking their fist at God and cursing him because of this going on. I remember years ago watching a Twilight Zone where they had the sun was scorching the earth and these people were dying of heat and everything like that. Boy, this is worse than science fiction. It says in verse 10, and the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongue for pain. Now, these judgments are across the world, but now he focuses on the seat of the beast. His kingdom. What is the kingdom of the beast? Now, the beast will have power over the whole world. But he has a particular coalition of nations that are directly under his power. And what is that coalition? Eric?
Babylon?
Babylon will be the center of the UN, which is the world rule of the beast. And that's the UN aspect of it. But this is just his kingdom itself. Yes?
Would that be the kingdom that he has set up in Jerusalem, that he has taken over?
It would include that, but it is a particular empire that he will rule over from the past. Mike?
Would it be Spain?
It includes that, yeah, but what's the empire? Yes, here.
Is it Rome?
Yeah, the Roman Empire. And now it will have expanded, of course. The Roman Empire will have expanded to include all those empires in Daniel. So it's going to go from Spain right on across into the Middle East, as you talked about. It's a huge empire, and that is the kingdom of the beast. So it's Europe and the Middle East, basically. And that's where this darkness is going to be. That's the center of his kingdom. And they prided themselves upon being the center of his kingdom, because that's going to become the richest area of the world. The United States may go through some hard times. We're going to go down in power, it appears. We will probably be a coalition of nations like Canada, the United States, and Mexico. They're talking about a unit of money called the Amero. We may have that. I don't know. But at any rate, there'll be different centers of power. China, Japan, India, the kings of the East. But it'll all be one world economy and government. And the beast will be the enforcer of the world government. The world government will be centered in Iraq, in Babylon. That's the world government, the UN, and the beast will enforce the world government, but his kingdom will be centered in the EU and in the Middle East, and it's going to have darkness all over it, as you notice here. And they gnaw their tongues for pain. Why do you think they gnaw their tongues for pain? They're in the dark. Is it because they're dark and they're gnawing their tongue because the darkness is hurting them? Why do you think they're gnawing their tongues for pain at this point? I think it's very simple. They've got sunburn, and they've got big cancer sores, and they're sitting in the dark with no electricity, no refrigeration, no air conditioning, and they're sitting there in their pain, and they're just gnawing their tongues for pain. And keep in mind, you've still been blaspheming God. And now they know it's not evolution. They know there's a God. It's not Mother Nature. They know it's Father God doing this to them, and they do not like it. That shows you how wicked the heart of man is. Right in the midst of the wrath of God being poured out. And then it says, look at verse 11. They blaspheme the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. They've done all this sin. They've worshipped the beast. They've been in immorality. They've had abortions. And they're still not giving it up. They're still not saying, oh, that was wrong what we did, God. Forgive us. Oh, no. Their hearts are very hard at this point. By the way, the Bible says, listen to me, the closer we get to the end time, the more you're going to see the love of many wax cold. That means grow cold. You're going to see people's hearts getting harder and harder and harder to the things of God. You're already seeing it, aren't you? You're seeing it in your own country. You're going to see it with the children, the grandchildren. You're going to see it. If they are not touched by the grace of God, their hearts are going to get harder. And your own children or grandchildren will turn you in someday. If you believe in God. You believe in Christ. That's how hard the hearts are going to get if they're not saved. You better be aware of it, because I'm just going to have to tell you the truth. This is what the Bible says. I don't like to say it, but I'm God's mailman. Okay? And so it says here that in verse 12, and the sixth angel, remember this is happening within just about 3 weeks' time, and the sixth angel poured out, by the way, do you notice these things are getting more and more severe? It's just like the trumpets. The last three trumpets are called three woes. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Not ho, 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 you know. Well, it's like the wrath of God now gets more severe as you go through it. And it says, the people aren't repenting. So God said, okay, I'm going to step it up a little bit now. You think this is, watch this. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river, River Euphrates. River Euphrates is right where Eric Sabodnik, his vehicle was burned. And it says, and the water thereof was dried up. And the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. Now, who are the kings of the east? China, probably India, Japan, all the Asian people. Now, look at this. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. Remember, the dragon is Satan. The beast is the head of the revived Roman Empire, the European Union. I believe that's Hitler come back. And then the false prophet is none other than the false Christ, the one that does the miracles. And he has the power of miracles. And he's no doubt a Jew. And he's over the one world economy. And demons are coming out of them in order to gather the kings of the east to a great battle. And look what it says in verse 14. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth, the whole world, to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. They're going to do miracles and make sure the Chinese come to this battle. Make sure the Japanese come to this battle. Make sure the people of India come to this battle. They're all going to come. And it says, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and see his shame. Now, The Bible says in verse 16 what battle they're being gathered to by these demons coming out of Satan and coming out of the beast and coming out of the false Christ and prophet. what battle is this? After the sixth trumpet, or bowl, I'm sorry. Yes.
The Battle of Armageddon.
It's the Battle of Armageddon. Armageddon is a place in the Middle East, in Israel. It's right by the plain of Esdraelon. Esdraelon, it's E-S-D-R-A-E-L-O-N, Esdraelon. It's a big plain, about 60 miles flat. And there's a city called Megiddo right there. There's a mountain right there by it, Mount Megiddo. And this is called Armageddon. It's a place that Napoleon called the world's greatest battlefield. Many battles have been fought there, by the way. And Napoleon saw it when he traveled out there. It's a big flat plain. And the Bible says that the whole world is going to gather there. That's why all these Eastern peoples and their armies are going to come to fight there. And then the armies of the West are going to come and fight there. Now the question is, who are they going to fight? A lot of Bible scholars say, well, the East is going to fight the West, and there's going to be a big showdown, the Chinese and the West, and this is something they've been waiting for. That is not true. Remember, Satan and the beast and the false Christ are over the West, but they're also over the whole world. They have power over the whole world. It's a united world. They are not there to fight one another. The Battle of Armageddon is not the East against the West. It's not the North against the South. That's already been fought. Nancy's still fighting it, but guess whose side she's on, guys? Get her! who is it? Who's fighting who here? Michael?
I believe they're going to come and fight Israel.
Okay, they're all...
Because, number one, Satan will provoke them to go there and to try to wipe them out. And number two, they got great riches. They're going to have great riches there. They're going to be jealous of that.
Well, that's true. It's a final march to get rid of, no doubt, those Jews that have been in hiding that are left. Of course, keep in mind that the Lord at this point has already hidden them. The Lord has already hidden them in a place called Azel. Remember when the Lord marched after he returned, he marched them up to Mount Zion, 144,000, and then he got on to Mount of Olives, and the Mount of Olives split, and he took all of his people, the Israelites that are saved, that don't have the mark, he took them all, and he hid them in a place called Azel, and it closed it up, and nobody can find them now. They're there. So then the Lord went back up into heaven between day 6 and day 30, to get ready to come down for the Battle of Armageddon. So, while that's true, no doubt, they hate Israel. At this point, at the end of the 30 days, they're specifically coming for one main purpose, and the devil knows it. That's why the devil uses demons to get them, because he wants to lure them in for this one main purpose, because the devil knows exactly the main purpose. And what is it? Denny? He's going to try to defeat Christ. Because Christ, he knows, is the last... This is Satan's last stand, like Custer's last stand. He knows now Christ is going to take over the world. I've got to stop him. And so he's got to use every army in the whole world and get them all together with all the modern weapons that they have. And we are developing great weapons. And he's going to aim them all at Jesus. How stupid. He's going to try to shoot him down. He's going to try to aim them at the angels that are coming. You've heard of like the War of the Worlds, you know, the aliens fighting the... The aliens to Satan are going to be Jesus and his angels, you know. Like, we got to stop them. This is my world. I've controlled it for 6,000 years. Who does he think he is taking over? Well, he's the one that died for the world. He's the one that rose again and triumphed over Satan. He's the one that the Bible says is the King of Kings. He is of the seed of David. He is the one that this world's been promised to. And so This judgment's just happening. His whole kingdom is being destroyed. Satan's like, everything's caving in around him. It's like, and he's still fighting. You know what? That's determination. He's on the losing side, and look how determined he is. You see, Christians, we're on the winning side. We sit around, oh, so bad. Lift up your head, man. Fight. Stand. Serve. You're on the winning side. I've read the last page, and I want you to see here what's going on. We're talking about destruction here, and right in the middle of this destruction, look what it says verse 15. It says, "Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and see his shame." I used to read that, and I said, wait a minute, this is at the end of the 30 days. This is just before the Battle of Armageddon. What is he talking about? He's coming as a thief. He's not coming to the Battle of Armageddon as a thief. All these trumpet judgments, all these bowl judgments, this isn't a thief. Everything is known. The world even knows. The unsaved know that he's coming. The devil knows that he's coming. He's not coming as a thief. So what's this talking about in verse 15 then, Mike?
Well, he's going to come like at the time when you least expect, you don't expect him. Plus, those who are Christians, so-called Christians, who are not really right with God,
yeah,
sitting on the fence. He's going to catch him like a thief.
Okay, that's right. You're absolutely right. He's right. But I took it that this coming had to do with his coming now for the Battle of Armageddon. But that's not when the second coming starts. You're absolutely right. He's going back now. He's making a comment on all this. And he's saying, I'm coming as a thief. Make sure you're not left behind for this junk. Make sure you're not left behind. You see all these bad things going to happen. You don't want to be there. And by the way, I want to tell anybody in this class, because we got a group this big. There's more than 12 people here. Christ had 12 disciples, and one of them was a what? A devil. He was not saved. It's possible you don't really have Jesus in your heart. I hope you do. As far as I know, you do. But God knows everything. And I'm saying, if you haven't accepted him in your heart, make sure you do. Because you don't want to be left behind. Because he is, as Michael just said, he is coming as a thief. What does that mean? That doesn't mean that for us he's coming as a thief. If we're saved, we will know he's coming. We won't take the mark of the beast. If we're really saved, if you take the mark of the beast, you were never saved. And you aren't going to be deceived, and you're going to think everything's fine. You'll forget what I've said to you. It'll be wiped out of your mind. You say, how can that happen? Well, sometimes I ask somebody what we preached on yesterday. I don't know. It's very easy. Wipe it out of your mind, the Word of God. So it's important for you to accept Christ and to know the Word of God so that when these things happen, you know that this is going to happen and this is going to happen and I know where I am now and now the Lord's going to come back. When's the Lord going to come back? Between the what seal and the what seal? Somebody raise your hand if you know. You all ought to know. Eric?
Sixth and seventh.
Yes, between the sixth and the seventh seal. When in the 7 years is he going to come back? Before the 7 years, in the first half of the 7 years, in the second half of the 7 years, when is he going to come back? Mary?
After the 30 days.
No, I'm talking about when is he going to come back and rapture us and catch us up to meet him in the air? Eddie Brent.
The second half
of the 3.5 years, he's going to come back and he's going to catch us up. And so the Lord is reminding us of all of this right now because he says, you will be ready and you'll be taken up. The world won't be and they'll have to suffer all these things. Now, here's the last bowl judgment. Look at verse 17. It says, and the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, it is done. Now watch this, verse 18. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings. Now I want you to see this. And there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. Do you remember that tsunami in Indonesia, just around Christmas time, 2000, I think it was 2005, it killed over 200,000 people. Do you remember that? In Indonesia, they had it on the, you could see videos of it, people, you know, on the beach, and that big tsunami came. When this earthquake happens, it's going to be greater than anything. It's going to be worldwide. The earthquake's going to be all over the whole world. And I'm talking about mountains are going to fall down. I'm talking about every building, big building's going to fall down. I'm talking about tsunamis going to come across land. It's going to be a terrible, terrible earthquake. And look what it says in verse 18. It says, and there were voices. And then verse 19, and the great city was divided into three parts. And the cities of the nation fell, and great Babylon came into remembrance. What's the great city that was divided into three parts? Well, that's no doubt Jerusalem, God's city. And then Babylon is going to be given judgment. By the way, Babylon will be in Iraq. It's going to be the center of the one world economy, the one world government, the UN. And it is going to be destroyed right about this time. And chapter 17 and chapter 18, listen to me, two chapters of Revelation is going to explain Babylon, what it's like and how it's going to be destroyed. It takes two chapters. That's how important that place is. And that'll be the center of Satan's power in the future world. It'll be called the whore that rides even the beast and the Antichrist. But anyway, I want you to see the destruction of this earthquake. And look what it says in verse 20. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. Now, I want to ask you a question. The mountains were not found. So Mount Everest is going to cave in. All the big mountains, Mount Kinley's going to cave in. They're going to knock all the mountains down. That earthquake's going to shake so bad. But the islands are going to disappear. What is an island? Mike?
An island would appear to be a small little place out in the middle of the sea.
Yep.
Where maybe a few people stay.
That's right. But what's under that little small place?
Water. This is water, sea.
So what is an island, Bob?
It's a mountain that rises up above the sea level.
It's a mountain. An island is a mountain. In the ocean. So that's why the island's going to disappear, because when it shakes, those mountains in the ocean are going to cave in, and those people living on those little tops of the mountains, which are islands, they're disappearing. Tsunami going to wipe them out. And when we think of an island, Hawaii is an island, the Hawaiian Islands. How about Australia? It's an island continent. You wipe out a whole continent of people. I mean, it's going to be so destructive. This is going to be the last judgment, and it's no small thing. Every island, it says, I take that Australia is an island. Every island fled away through the tsunami. It's going to cover it. And look at this, verse 21. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone upon the weight of a talent, and men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, or for the plague thereof was exceeding great. Now, by the way, it says a talent. Does anybody know how much a talent is in terms of pounds? This is how big that hailstone is. Yes?
It's about 100 pounds.
It's about 100 pounds. Every hailstone's 100 pounds. Now, people think hail. How many have ever seen a hailstorm? Okay. People think of that. It's not that kind of hail. If you look the word up, hail there, it is in the Greek, lithanos. Lithanos. What lithanos means is like lignite. It's like stone. So these are not hails of ice. These are hails of rocks. God's going to throw rocks. You say, where are the rocks going to come from? When there's that big earthquake that's going to shake all the mountains, you know the volcanic mountains that have all these volcanoes in them? It's going to shoot out stones, and they're going to fly up in the air and then hit people all over the world and come down on them. 100-pound stones are going to hit them. And that's why they're going to be blaspheming God, because they're going to be dying, and they're cursing God as they're dying, many of them. And there'll be survivors, but very few. And the army that went down there to the Battle of Armageddon, they're going to survive. All those armies, they'll be there. So somehow they're not going to be hit by all this stuff. The armies are still going to be intact, ready to fight. Fight God. Fight Jesus. That's what they're going to do. But the civilians, you talk about collateral damage. That's collateral damage. I'm talking, this world is going to be destroyed by this stuff. Well, wait a minute. If this whole world is destroyed, what's God doing? What's his object? Marion? He's going to set up a new world. This whole thing is going to be destroyed. Complete devastation. And he's going to set up a new heaven and a new earth. And that's what we're going to look at in the future, okay? So this is the judgment, and we'll talk about the final battle of Armageddon and the final new world in the future. Also, we want to talk about Babylon and what's going to happen there in chapter 17 and 18, okay? All right, see you next week. Have a good week.